The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Picking up on Chris's theme of evangelism, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Thinking about evangelism, thinking about sharing his story. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you, before we go any further, go ahead and flip to the next slide. Because I want you to think as we read through these 10 verses, I want you to think about these questions. These questions come from Charles Swindoll. They're not mine. I pulled them straight out of his commentary, shortened them a little bit to put them on the slide. But these questions, think about what was life like prior to God's gracious intrusion? What was life like before God's gracious intrusion? Two, what did God do for us? What did God do for us? Three, why did God do it? And then four, how can we receive his gift? How can we receive his gift? And there's a fifth question I didn't put on the screen, but the fifth question is, what difference does salvation make in your life? So think about those questions as we read through this passage. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let's pray. God, your amazing grace demonstrated to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, indeed, it is amazing grace. And Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, teach us from it about your grace and love and mercy, and about what you have done for us, and about how we need to share that with others. Draw us in your word. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 begins with, in a number of translations, New American Standard that I'm reading today, begins with the word "and." It is a look back to chapter 1 and all that Paul has been writing in chapter 1 into chapter 2. If you know, the chapter and verse number divisions were not original. This was just one letter, just one long letter with no divisions in it. As a matter of fact, when I say long letter, Paul writes in long sentences. In Greek, which I don't know Greek, Dr. Taylor knows it very well, but I don't know Greek. I took Greek in college, but it's been many years ago, and I passed by grace. But in Greek, chapter 2, verse 1, all the way through verse 7, is one long sentence. Paul is used to that. Verses in chapter 1, verse 3 through 14 is one long sentence. Paul gets in these thoughts and he moves from one thought to another, to another, to another, and to another. In this chapters, he's talking about God, what God has done for us. He's talking about that, and as he's writing these things down, the thoughts of what God has done just fills his mind, and he just overflows with God's grace and this emotion and this writing of consumes him about God's grace, what God has done for us. So we look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 7 is one long sentence. You say, well, where is the main noun, the main verb in this one sentence with all these phrases? By the way, it's broken down into sentences in English so that it helps us to be able to comprehend it better. But in Greek, it's that one long sentence. And its main verb is in noun, is in verse 4. But God. God. God is the main noun. The center of this thought is God, what he did. The verb, the main verb in this Greek text, is found in verse 5. God made us alive. That's the center thought of verses 1 through 7. That's the driving thought that's in Paul's mind. God made us alive. Wow. Now let's see how he got there. Verse 1. And you were, what? Dead. You were dead. Swindoll, in his commentary, gives the title, "You Were Dead, But God." I like that. You were dead. We were dead. In what? In our trespasses and our sins. Why do so many people not understand the truths that are found in the Bible? Because we're dead, spiritually dead. And the cause of our death is our transgressions, trespasses, and the trespasses are false steps or slipped steps or lapses in actions. And the word sins here is the idea of missing the mark. We've talked about it and heard it through all these many years, that it's the idea of you set a bullseye out there of God's perfection, of what God has called us to be, and being holy in perfection and blameless. And we're back here shooting arrows at that target, at that bullseye. We don't hit the bullseye. We don't even hit the target. We're so far off. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. and sin has begun to reap its wages. Paul said in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Chase a rabbit. I'm good at that. Think about what Adam and Eve, and God told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will die. They ate. They died. Not physical death at that point, although physical death was a part of that, but they died right at that moment spiritually. Their relationship with God was broken by sin. Their relationship, their connection, their fellowship with God was broken by sin of disobedience to God. Sin always reaps its wages. And the wages of sin is death. Blinding us from comprehending spiritual truths. Paul reminded the Ephesians that they were once dead in sin, but they are now made alive in Christ. Some translations, King James, for example, talks about it in verse 1, and they were quickened in the King James word. That was put in there so to help us English, in the English versions, to help us to understand that God made us alive, coming out of verse 5. But that word quickened and that idea is not actually found in verse 1. Verse 1 simply says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. But Paul was reminding these Ephesians that he made them alive. God in his incredible power raised us and gave us spiritual life. Whew. Point one, and I've barely started and it's long. Go back and look at chapter one, and I'll try to make this quick as we look through just a quick overview of some of the thoughts in chapter one. Notice verse 3, thinking about what God has done for us. And this is where Paul starts this idea and this thought. Chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Realize what God has done, how blessed we are by his gift to us of spiritual blessings. Verse 4. And he chose us before the foundation of the world. That boggles my mind. That before the foundation of the world, before God ever did anything to create the world we live, he thought of us. And he chose us for salvation. Whew. Amazing. Notice it says there, chose us in the last part of verse 4, that we would be what? Holy and blameless before him in love. We were to be like that target. We're always missing that target, remember? We're falling way short of God's grace, and God's mercy, God's law. We're falling short in our sins. But God wanted us to be perfect. Wanted us to hit that bullseye all the time. He wants us to be holy and blameless. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons. You could spend, and books have been written on the word predestined. But the idea here is that God chose us before the foundation of the world. He predestined that we would come to faith in Christ. And what would that be? Adoption as sons. You can spend an hour or two thinking about adoption and what that means to someone who is adopted. We don't have time for that. Another sermon. Verse 6. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. To praise him, to give glory to God for what he has done for us. When we think of our salvation, when we think of the fact that God blesses us, that he chose us, that he has adopted us, we're to give him praise and glory. Verse 7. Here again, we could spend days talking about verse 7. In him, we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Chase a little rabbit. The music that we sang this morning was chosen long before I knew I was going to preach at 8:30 this morning. But did you catch all of the songs about salvation, redemption, by his grace, that God's grace has, and blood, through the blood of Christ, has saved us? That's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians 1. Whew. Verse 7 that talks about the fact that without him, we're all slaves to sin. We've been dominated and ruled and controlled by our sinful nature. But through Christ, that we have been set free from that slavery of sin. Through his shed blood on the cross, Christ paid the ransom for our salvation. He paid the ransom and set us free from the slavery to sin. That's what redemption is. The believer who has been controlled by sin has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and set free to live righteously. That word trespasses we talked about a few moments ago talks about false steps and straying from the path of God's righteousness. If you think about the idea of you're walking down this path of God's righteousness and purity and you step off the path into sin and trespasses. Have you ever walked in some places? I remember walking through some of the parks, state parks, and I remember one park where they had this beautiful wooden deck, that walkway all the way around this little section of swampy woods. And you could walk all through that easily on that deck. But if you stepped off that deck, you were in the mud and the muck, the water of that swamp. That's what he's talking about here, trespasses. The Bible teaches that there's consequences of sin, and the result of that is death, spiritual death, separated from God for in eternal agony and torment. Believers have been redeemed and forgiven, not because we deserve it. We've been redeemed and forgiven, not because we deserve it, but because of God's marvelous grace. Because of God's marvelous grace. Which, as we see in verse 8, which is continuation of that, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in wisdom and insight. Which he lavished. God's grace, that unmerited favor, that God doing good things for us who did not deserve them. We were in our sins and trespasses. But God, because of his grace, which he didn't sprinkle on us, he lavished it upon us. He poured it upon us. He flooded our lives with God's grace. Grace that's overflowing, profusely, extravagantly poured out upon us. God graciously and abundantly gives redemption and forgiveness and eternal life. Oh, we could go on and on. The idea of God's redemption. And Paul talks about it there in verse I've lost my place. Verse 9. That he made known to us the mystery of his will. The mystery of the idea that he was that in the Old Testament they prophesied about and wrote about, but they did not fully understand what God was going to do through Christ and sending Jesus, his only son, that to live, to die on the cross, to be buried and raised again to new life. And that idea of what Christ did, what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, that he took God's wrath upon himself. The wrath that you and I deserve because of our trespasses and sins, Jesus took on the cross. God, because of his grace, sent Jesus. Verse 10. In the fullness of time, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. I preached a sermon one time during Christmas season on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the fullness of his time, at God's precious time, at the right moment, he sent Jesus the Son to come and be born and to die for us. Why? Verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose of his works through us. An inheritance. God has given us an inheritance. He's adopted us. When he adopted us as a child, he gives us an inheritance. That inheritance, among other things, the ultimate part of that is our experience when we go to be with him in heaven. But that's only the culmination of God's inheritance. And why? Why all of this? Verse 12. To the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. God has, by his grace, has saved us from sin and has redeemed us and done all of these things so that we might praise and glorify him. That we might worship him. And I'm not just talking about music, although sometimes in our culture today we think of worship as being worship music. Music is part of worship, but music is only a small part of worship. And I'm not just talking about what we do as we gather together in a place together to worship the Lord. But worship is what we do every moment of every day to share God's love. It is what we do as we live our lives sharing God's grace with others. Praising him, glorifying him with everything we do. Not just what we do on Sunday, not just what we do in this buildings, what we do every moment of every day should be for the praise and glory of God. Whew. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Preach and preach on Ephesians 1, but we don't have time. Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to look at that last section, verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. When I began to learn how to share my faith, as a teenager, and began to learn how to witness, how to share God's love, how to present what God has done for us to other people, I learned several verses of scripture. The main one, or the first one, if you will, and that relates to everyone that is around us could probably go, quote John 3:16. I sang about it in the song Share His Love. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I learned that verse. I also learned what's referred to as the Roman road to salvation. Several passages out of Romans that guide you through what God has done, what we were and what we are and what God has done for us and leading us to faith. But I also learned Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace. One of the commentators writing about this verse said, this is the gospel in a nutshell. We think of that a lot of times when we think of John 3:16. But this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, are really, and 10, is the gospel presented. And by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. To realize what Paul is saying all the way through chapter Ephesians 3, 1, all the way through this section, that God chose us, that God redeemed us, that God by his grace has forgiven us. It's not what you and I do. It's not the good things that you and I try to do. For all too often, we are stepping a foot off of that pathway and into the muck and mire of sin. We're all too often falling short of God's perfect, holy will for us. It's not what you and I do, but God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God made us alive in Christ Jesus. It is God who has redeemed us. And as Paul is writing to the Ephesians, this just overflows in this passage as he writes these long sentences of thoughts about what God has done for us because of his grace. Because of his grace. Our lives were like and full of sin, trespasses. That's what our lives are like. But God, by his grace, his mercy, his love for you and me, provided our forgiveness, our redemption, our salvation through Jesus Christ. It says we are saved by his grace through faith. The idea of faith there is a complete trust in God. A complete and total trust. The only way that I will ever get to heaven is not because of any good that I can do. It's because of God's grace. I trust that because of what Jesus has done on Calvary's cross, that my sins have been cleansed. My sins have been redeemed. My sins have been washed away. And I am covered with the righteousness of Jesus. My hope is found in Christ alone. So just to finish up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. What difference does salvation make in our lives? as Swindoll asks. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Take note of a couple of things there. We're his workmanship. We're not what he's put us together and made us and redeemed us, not because of our work, but because of his working through us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, saved, redeemed, bought by the blood of Christ for good works. Once we have accepted God's gift of salvation, his grace that has lavished upon us, we are to do what he commands us to do. We are to be, as Paul said in Ephesians 1, we are to be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. As we walk in our daily life, and he mentions that word walk in the last part of verse 10, that we walk in them. The word walk here is the idea of our every, not just physically putting feet in front, one foot in front of the other, but it is the idea of our life. Everything that we do, all that consumes us, we are to walk in his works. We are, as Paul said in Ephesians 1, to be holy and blameless in him. All because of God's grace upon us, that we praise him, give God glory and honor and praise every moment of every day. Wrapping this back around when we think about evangelism, we need to share the story of what God has done for us with other people. People around us need to hear the story of what God has done for us. That how God has, by his grace, made us alive. While we were dead in sin, God, by his grace, made us alive. We must share that truth. For there are many who don't have a clue what that's about. Maybe someone sitting here today needs to come to the point where they put your trust and faith in what God has done in his grace. I pray that you would make that decision to totally commit into what Jesus has done for us as the way of salvation, to receive his gift of forgiveness and redemption. He calls us, calls you and me to faith in Christ, to a life of walking in his ways. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace. That is so easy to roll off of our tongues, but yet it's so meaningful. Lord, it's because of you and what you have done for us that we can even be here this morning. Lord, I want to give you glory for that, for the salvation that you bring, for the forgiveness, the cleansing of our trespasses and sins, for making us alive, for making me alive. Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those who hear this message. The truth of your gospel. And Lord, help us to share that truth with others. We love you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. We love you because of what you have done for us. While we were dead in our sins, you gave us life. Lord, let us live for your glory. Because of the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.